Our lesson this morning is out of Acts chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. Christ's use of Paul to disciple others under the highest motive. Jesus had told his disciples that their love for one another would be the hallmark of their Christian testimony in John 13:35, so it was imperative that they love one another. John repeats the same idea in 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. However, there's a higher calling, actually, than this, one that Paul displayed and discipled in others in Acts chapter 21. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer before we get into the ministry of His Word. Father, we thank You for Your love, for Your Word, and for the indwelling Spirit of God, and for the direction that You provide us through Your Word. And we ask this morning for wisdom to understand the passage, understand the principle that is being taught here this morning, so that we might use it, apply it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me read the passage first, and then we'll look at it in depth. Acts chapter 21, 1 through 14. It came to pass, after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cos, and the day following unto Rhodes, and from there unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over to Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. Now when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand, and sailed unto Syria, and landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unladen her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit, that be the Holy Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. And when we had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children until we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the seashore and prayed. And when we had taken our leave of one another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemy, and saluted the brethren, and abode with them 1 day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came to Caesarea. We entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the 7, and abode with him. And the same man had 4 daughters, who were virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle or sash, and bound his own hands and feet, and said, Thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when we heard these things, both we and they that were of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered and said, What do you mean to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, The will of the Lord be done. Okay, what's going on here? Well, this passage, Acts 21, 1-14, records Paul's journey by ship from Miletus, where he had met with the elders of the church at Ephesus in the province of Asia, until he disembarked from the ship for the final time at Caesarea on the coast of Israel en route to his destiny of Jerusalem. Now this trip leads us to recall Jesus' journey when he set his face to go to Jerusalem for his suffering and his death. You remember in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus set his face to go towards Jerusalem. In other words, he was forcing himself to do that. Jesus didn't enjoy the cross. He actually, from a human perspective, repudiated, but that was the will of the Father, and so he forced himself to go towards the cross. He disciplined himself to do that. And Paul is doing the same thing, for Paul had already testified that the Holy Spirit had revealed through Christian prophets in every town that bonds and afflictions awaited him in Jerusalem. You'll remember we covered this last week in Acts chapter 20, 22-23, where the Apostle Paul had said, Now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Except that the Holy Spirit witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. So, accordingly, Acts 21, 1-14, the passage that we have in front of us this morning, reveals a tremendous contrast of opinion between Paul's motive to continue to Jerusalem and the motive of many believers that he not go there. This is a very interesting study. You have believers that both have well-meaning motives, but they have a tremendous conflict, a contrast of opinion, and it's worth looking at. Repeatedly, many other believers believe that Paul should not go to Jerusalem because of the sufferings and the potential death that awaited him there. For example, in traveling to Miletus to Tyre, some disciples had testified that the Holy Spirit had revealed to them that Paul would suffer in Jerusalem, so they urged him not to go. It's interesting, verse 4, who said through Paul, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. Now, it's interesting. The Holy Spirit is revealing to all these Christians that if Paul goes, this is going to await him. So, obviously, the Holy Spirit's trying to get down to something and raise it up. He's trying to surface something. And what he's surfacing is a tremendous distinction of opinion between Paul and other Christians. Very interesting. Then in traveling from Tyre to Caesarea, a Christian prophet Agabus came down from Judea and predicted that Paul would be bound and delivered to the Gentiles in Jerusalem. And this set the other believers, including Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, pleading with Paul not to go there. Notice verse 12. And when we heard these things, this is the prophecy of Agabus, both we, and when Luke writes we, that means includes himself, and they that of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. If you have a New International Version or the English Standard Version, you have a better verb there. They pleaded with him. They begged him not to go up. But what's interesting is Paul asserted that regardless of their pleading, he was more determined than ever not only to be bound and to suffer Jerusalem, but even to die for the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 13, then Paul answered, "What mean you, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." His head was devoutly committed to going to Jerusalem, and if it meant his death, if it meant his bondage, so be it. He wasn't going to give ground in regards to this. Now, discerning the difference in motives reveals that though fellow believers had a high motive of not wanting Paul to suffer out of love for him, Paul had the loftiest of all motives in wanting to suffer and die out of love for the Lord, to fulfill his calling as an apostle before God. Now, we know from several passages in the book of Acts that Paul was not sinning by declining the advice of other believers that he not go to Jerusalem. How do we know this? You'll notice back in Acts chapter 20, verse 22, Paul had said to the elders, "Now behold, I go bound in the Spirit." He felt that in some way he was actually bound. He was being forced to go himself. If you go back to chapter 21, actually forward, chapter 21, verse 14, it says, "The will of the Lord be done." The rest of the disciples, even though they were pleading with Paul, recognized he wasn't giving in. So since they had seen the Apostle Paul work and be used by the Holy Spirit so much, they concluded the Holy Spirit must be allowing him to do this, to be this firmly convinced. And then if you skip ahead to Acts chapter 23, verse 1, the Apostle Paul is speaking in front of the Sanhedrin in Jerusalem when he gets there and when he's actually captured. And it's interesting that what Paul says in chapter 23, verse 1, Paul earnestly beholding the council said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And if Paul had lived in good conscience, he was going to Jerusalem, even though he knew the Holy Spirit had been predicting that if he went there, trouble would await him. He was going there with a clear conscience. He wasn't sinning in going. So he wasn't wrong to go, even though the Holy Spirit was revealing that if he went there, this difficulty would happen. Now, we also know that there is a huge motive that the Apostle Paul had, a very lofty motive, and it's given us in Romans chapter 9. 1, 2, and 3. Paul happened to mention this in his epistle to the Romans. And you can see what he says. There's a tremendous motive. Romans 9, 1 through 3. Paul wrote, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accused or anathema from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Paul is saying, "I could wish that I could go to hell so that all Israel would be saved. If I knew that that would lead all Israel to Christ, I would gladly go to hell." That's an amazing statement for a man to make. That shows he has a tremendous love for these people. But this also shows that Paul had a commitment to the will of God. The will of God was that he go and do the will of God by communicating to Gentiles as well as Jews the gospel. And Paul said, "You know, if I go to Jerusalem and they take my life there, at least if I give one more witness for Christ, it'll be worth it. Because my Jewish countrymen need to know Jesus Christ." And that's what he had in mind. So, Paul was driven to go to Jerusalem out of a love for Christ and his call to disciple all men, be they Jews or Gentiles. Thus, though other believers had a very high motive, that of love for Paul, and not wanting him to be afflicted and martyred, his decision to press on to Jerusalem came from an infinitely higher motive. It was love for the Lord and passion for the accomplishment of his purpose. I'm quoting from a tremendous Bible teacher there by the name of G. Campbell Morgan. So, when other believers realized Paul was so resolute to continue to Jerusalem, they consented, saying, "The will of the Lord be done," and ceased pressuring Paul about it. So, though other believers were well motivated out of love for him in not wanting Paul to go to Jerusalem to suffer, Paul was more highly motivated in wanting to fulfill his divine calling from God. Let me write something down here. So, may we appreciate the lofty calling that we love other believers, but may we view as an even higher calling that of loving Christ and fulfilling his calling. I'm reminded, and I put this down as I was typing this up, in John chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. Three times Jesus said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Of course I love you." He said, "Then feed my sheep." He asked him, "Do you love me?" "Feed my sheep, feed my sheep." And then after telling him, "Feed the sheep," the third time, then Jesus predicts that Paul's going to be crucified. Peter was going to be crucified. Well, Peter says, "Well, if I'm going to be up on the cross, how about these other guys?" He's looking around. "Yeah, I don't want to be the only one up there." And Jesus said, and he turns about to John and says, "How about John?" And Jesus said, "Well, if I want John to live until I come again, what's that to you? Your focus should be on following me. Don't worry about John. John and I will work things out, but you need to work things out with me. You need to follow my will." So the higher calling that Peter had was to do the will of God, even though feeding the sheep of God would lead to his crucifixion. So may we thus love God even above loving Christian brethren. Now, the Lord provided a tremendous application. In last week's Sunday school class, I mentioned that I had received a letter that morning in the mail. It was a letter from a party that was outside of our church requesting that I take a certain course of action in regards to parties within our body. And it was one of those letters that basically whatever you do is not going to, it's going to be problematic. It's going to create a problem for something, either for the person who wrote the letter or whatnot. Well, this lesson with another couple of incidents and lessons and instructions from the Word of God directed me as to what to do. The Lord indicated, "Don, you need to put following me first, not being concerned about other people." So I put following the Lord first, and then I wrote a letter responding to the party indicating that there's no way I was going to adhere to or yield to this party's request because my first calling before the Lord was to take care of responsibilities within this body, and that meant protecting people within this body, and people within this body would have been unjustly harmed if I had yielded to the will of this person who's outside of the body. So I wrote back and just indicated, my calling before the Lord indicates that I go in this direction. And the Lord's given tremendous peace about it. So it's been a learning thing. It's amazing how many times, if you ever teach a Sunday school class or a VBS class or something, the Lord makes you apply the lesson yourself before you teach it, before you give it to others. And he did it in this particular case. So it is true. God wants us to love the brethren, and that's a high and lofty calling. But if we have to choose between getting along with brethren or getting along with and pleasing God, you have to put God's will first. God takes precedence over everything else. And in this situation, this was the will of God. So we went with the Lord's will in regards to this, and we're going to stay with it. Okay, we'll open up the lesson to you if you have some questions at this point or feedback or interactions that may have to do with the content of what we've given here this morning. It may have to do with something else. Either way, we'll open it up for discussion and for discipling. Yes, Liz.